Blog Talk Radio.
There was a time I truly believed that I could do it on my own. But all that I found at the end of that road is that concept for me was all wrong. But I found a Savior who turned me around, and He placed His love on me, and I will trust.
Talk show, a ministry embracing widows and others who have lost a special loved one. Our scripture reads, "Honor widows that are widows indeed," coming from 1 Timothy 5:3. I hope you had a wonderful Memorial weekend. Hope it wasn't too hot for you. It was pretty hot out there, but I tried my best to stay out of the heat, and I stayed in most of the time. Wherever I was, I stayed in instead of hanging out in the sun. So I hope that you had a wonderful weekend and being with friends and family, and also graduations event, lots of that this weekend and also this coming week. Well, we're going to continue to talk about the stages of grief. And we are not just going to talk about just the stage, but we're going to also talk about the process, the grief process. And the stages of grief are denial, anger, bargaining, sadness, depression, and acceptance. And what I want to also talk about, I've named the stages of grief, but I also want to talk about the process of those stages that you will experience as you are going through the stages of grief. And I mentioned last week to you, I was saying the upside down U. No, it's not the upside down. It's actually a U. I found my materials. It's really a regular U, but it's a big U. And on each side of that line of when you're starting the U on top, that's, and then you go around to the bottom and you bring it back up again. It's a regular U, but it has many grief stages. The first one is, well, the first thing that happens is the death loss, the loss of a loved one. And the first three things that happens most of the time that when you go through those stages, the first stages are denial, but it is shock, denial, and then you feel the numbness. Well, I definitely felt the numbness, but I expressed myself for last week how I felt when it happened and I started feeling my nerves just took control over my body. But anyway, one of the first reactions people have after a loved one passes away is shock. And then everything pretty much goes in slow motion. And you start functioning on autopilot. Shock is a built-in response to the loss of a loved one. I want to go over several things tonight. Let me get my papers together here. I'm going to hope that you can hear me clearly. If I just put the phone down. But I want to go over some things, the process of grief. First, the death comes, the shock, the denial, the numbness, and after you go through those stages, it becomes fantasy versus reality. Flood of grief, emotional relief, physical distress, depression, anger, guilt, regret, panic, anxiety, panic attack, confusion, fogginess. And when things are getting a little bit better, you get getting on with life, affirmation of life, new identity emerging. Then you, as you continue to go on, you gain hope and meaning, old patterns, new ones. Now, after you go to the stages of hope and meaning, the old pattern is pretty much, sometimes you go backwards. You go back down the U. And then after you pick yourself back up, then you form new ones because the habits that you had with your loved one, it's important that you change them, some of them, and have new ones as you walk through the journey of grief alone. Telling the story, then you become more comfortable talking about your loss without crying most of the time. And selective memories and stabbing pain. It's more or less those pains going to come back, those feelings are going to come back, but you're going to be able to handle it better than you felt when you began with the beginning of the you. When you're forming a you, yes, you are pretty, and most of us in bad shape. And as we continue to move on and as we end down the top of the you, it's better. You were able to handle it. Story. Able to talk about memories and feelings and stuff and not go through those things that we went through at the very beginning. So we're going to talk about, as we go along, we will pick some of these grief process as we go along, as I continue to talk about the stages of grief. But I wanted to go over that with you. And we'll pick a few of those from time to time as we are going along the stages of grief. So we're going to talk about again about denial and shock and the numbness that you will eventually, you will begin to have at the beginning of the loss. And really, people can stay in these stages for years, along, in weeks, year, months, years. Each person is different. So just knowing that the way that you feel, someone else might feel differently. They might go through their grief differently. Everyone doesn't go through their grief the same way, but some of the things are similar of what you do. And most of these are normal feelings. So just knowing that it's normal, but it's important that you try when it becomes unhealthy, that's when you need to make changes to the way that you're dealing with it. The first few weeks, I think the first week of preparing for the funeral, I didn't eat much. I didn't feel like eating. I knew I lost some weight by the time the funeral, the day of the funeral, I had lost weight. So there are different things that, and I didn't cry much. I really didn't cry much at all after when I first found out. And pretty much I didn't cry again until the day of the wake. It just, some emotions just took control of me, and I could not stop crying. So we all go through the shock and denial differently. And it's normal, and it's important that we go through these changes because it does help us, because when we try to just bottle it all up inside, it affects us physically and mentally. So just knowing that it is normal, most of the time that we feel guilty for feeling certain ways. We feel that we shouldn't cry. We feel that we shouldn't do certain things, and some of us want to. We just feel that it's important for us to do it. We want to do it. We don't want to think about anything. All we want to do is cry. The tears just keep coming and flowing and flowing and flowing. So we all experience grief differently. But we also go through a numbness feeling. I want to read a story of a widow's touch, where someone talked about their feelings. And you know one thing? This was to be read, because when I pulled this book out, I just opened it up, and there it was. That was the story that I wanted to talk about tonight, because she talked about, it was dealing with the numbness, how she felt when she was going through her loss. And it is my sister, by the way, Florence Bonaparte. And her name of her story in A Widow's Touch is My Protector is Gone. And there was a question that was given, and she answered it. What were some of the feelings and doubt you felt when your husband passed? She indicated that she was married for 53 wonderful years. That's a long time to be with one person. When he died, she felt like a zombie, just like numb, like a zombie. You had no control over yourself. You didn't feel like you were real. She couldn't believe he was gone. Said, I have had many relatives to pass away. But losing a spouse was harder than any other member of the family. She expressed that even her mother, father, sister, brother, children, or grandchildren, it felt different. She felt like a zombie. And she also expressed some emotions in this story. She said that, and she just felt like she was going through the motion. She dreamt about him every night. Now, this is something else now. She dreamt about him every night for 2 years straight. Now, I don't know. I didn't dream much about Al. I thought about him more than I dreamt about him. But see, each one of us deal with grief differently. And what else that I wanted to read from her story? And mentioned that she was going through the motion. I'm not going to, well, I can finish read the whole story because it's a short story. And she indicated that, you know, that her husband was kind and giving person. He was quiet and reserved, but very observant of things happening around them. He was her protector. The name of her story, My Protector, is gone. After he passed, I thought often about how great it would have been if we had spent more quality time together. When we saved money for a honeymoon or vacation, we would end up spending it helping other family members or becoming pregnant or other emergencies. So we put it off again and again. So there were things that she had guilt and regret about that she didn't do while he was alive. And we all have those thoughts also about our loved one. And she wanted to also indicate in this story that the most important suggestion that she would tell couples, I want to give other couples to please spend quality time with each other. Because there are all so many things that we start thinking about that we regret and have guilt about because we didn't accomplish those things. So she wished that she had spent more quality time. They spent lots of time together, but it wasn't the quality time that she thought that they could have spent with each other. So I wanted to share that story with you because she felt like a zombie when she was going through her loss. Also, I wanted to talk about anger. Anger is another stage. This is the denial, and shock is the first stage of grief, and then the second is anger. Now, this is a very serious one because most of us do become angry. We become angry in so many different ways. Let's read. We experience anger. Well, sometimes we bury the anger, and sometimes we are aware of it. But anger that stuff away won't remain hidden forever. It will come out, and sometimes it comes out in the worst way. We will be very surprised how anger can spill out when you've lost a loved one. That person becomes very angry, very not as kind as they used to be. They're very sensitive and sometimes say things that they don't mean because they're angry and they're feeling that has happened. It's wrong, has done them wrong. Why God did this? Why God let this happen? All those questions. Let me find some of the how did this happen? God, how could you let this happen? It's not fair. I can't go on without him or her. So you start asking, doubting God that he caused this, why did he let this happen? Because he has all powers. You want to know why, you know, this had to happen to you and at this particular time in your life. Well, you know, there's no set time that we were given that we was going to be on this earth and when we was going to die. No one knew that when they are going to die. So that is something we have to pray and ask God to give us the strength to know that we have to accept these things when it does happen, but in time it takes time. What else I wanted to talk? We become angry at ourselves sometimes of something that we didn't do. We didn't spend enough time with them. We also, we're dealing with why the person died, you know, our loved one who died, the grieving wife was mad with the husband for leaving. They're angry about you leaving me here all by myself and the children. What am I going to do without you? I can't do this and I can't do that. You know, you took care of the all the bills and even go food shopping. You were responsible. He was responsible for all those things, and now you got to go and do those things. So there is so much anger and within us about our loved one when they go away. No matter how hard you beat up against God, Jeff, God's loving arm is still waiting to embrace you. And how do you deal with your anger? Anger is tough emotions to deal with, but you can learn to deal with your anger so that it doesn't tie you up in knots. Getting good and angry can be good for you and help you grieve. Recognize your anger. Accept your anger. Anger is a normal response to a loss. Express your anger. Unexpressed anger can be built up until it erupts, and that sometimes happens. Anger that we can keep bottled up even cause health problems. Anger can cause can be really major, one of the major problem of the stages of grief, because how it affects you and how you let your feelings, because you really get so angry that they're not the friendliest people to be around much anymore until they get through their process of grief. Finding ways to let your anger out that it won't injure you or others. One good way is by talking and writing about your anger. Another good way is sharing your anger with a healing person, someone who you can handle, that can handle it. Just like I always say, find that safe person that you can always talk to and release your feelings and trust them whatever you may go through, you may tell them. That safe person is important to have, a prayer partner that you can pray together and ask God to release those anger and feelings that you don't want to continue to carry through this process of grief. So those are the two things that I wanted to mention tonight. But I went to Bible study tonight, and we talked about becoming a contagious Christian, overcoming all problems. And that study is through 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5. The main point was to become overcomers. And to become overcomers, we must give God and let God help us through all these problems. Just because he did not bring your husband back from the dead like Jesus did Lazarus, yes, we're angry because he didn't do that. No. But still, we must still trust him and believe that he will walk with us through this journey of grief and help us through it. And I'm sure you can see that you are better in some ways, but you got to trust him. He keep putting people and resources in your way to let you know that he's still there, walking beside you. And just like he said, he would never leave you nor forsake you. So the most important thing that I want you to get tonight, that it is okay to have been in shock, denial, to feel the numbness that you felt, and also to be angry. These are common stages and process of grief that one goes through, and it is okay. But I want you to keep going down to the you, going, expressing you're going to develop all those different things that you're going to be going through. But as you go and continue to have faith in God, you're going to get better and better and better, and you're going to be able to see that, and God is going to keep showing you that he's right there by your side. Ask God to help you to be an overcomer. He can help you overcome these feelings, these sorrows, all these emotions, all these problems you may have, not just the grief, but all the other things that goes along with it. If you're not financially stable, you're having problems with, you're having health issues, you're having problems with some of your children, or whatever you may be having with, God has all powers in his hand, and he can do all things. So, except he cannot bring your spouse back like Jesus brought Lazarus. Just knowing that he's gone, and you will see him one day. So you prepare yourself to see him again. But right now, you must have faith and be an overcomer. Stand on his promises and just know that he's going to still be there. He's going to love you just like he loved you before, even more. Because, you know, the scripture says, honor widows that are widows indeed. If he's telling others to take care of you, he's going to take care of you himself. So become an overcomer and stand on his promises. And that is all I have tonight. And next week we're going to talk about fantasy versus reality. But the next stage of grief is going to be, where is my little paper here? It's going to be bargaining. Bargaining, and also I'm going to talk about fantasy versus reality. Those two things, those three things I'm going to talk about. But the main thing that is the third stage of grief is bargaining. So we're going to talk about that. But just stand on his promises, because definitely lead you through this. And that is the end of my message for tonight. Continue to listen to the program, listen to the talk show, invite others, and just knowing that standing on this promise is going to help you to get through one day at a time. Be blessed and have a great day. And pray for me as I journey to South Carolina. I had one of my nieces to pass, and the funeral is this coming weekend. So pray for traveling grace and mercy and for my family as we go through this time in our life for the loss of one of my nieces. I have many nieces. I have grandnieces and great-grandnieces. I'm from an old generation. And I was number 11 out of 11. I'm number 11. So we have a lot of large family. And we're all going to be there this weekend. So just pray for us to get through this weekend together. Be blessed. And I'll talk to you soon.
there when I go without your hand holding me. And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do in life? Where would I